Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome to another edition of News and Views. Thanks for joining us. As voters across North Carolina head to the polls this Tuesday in municipal elections, a new study by Democracy North Carolina shows just how important every vote is and how even one vote can decide an election. Here to talk about the report and to weigh in on the latest court battles over redistricting is Bob Hall with Democracy North Carolina. Well, Bob, thanks for being back with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time as always.
Thanks for the invitation.
Democracy North Carolina recently issued a study with an interesting finding, and I guess the question that you ask at the beginning is one I'll ask you. Does one vote really make a difference?
It certainly does. It has historically, and it could again. I know it will in this November election. We looked at the 2015 election as a comparison to all the municipal elections across the state, and we found that the decision of one voter made a difference in, you know, dozens of local elections, and there were even more, over 60, nearly 70 cities where the winner won by five votes or less. So it's real important.
And I guess sort of not in the study, but a thing you've been working on for a long time, does that even make these efforts to suppress the vote even more egregious when you think about how important each vote is?
It's true, and I think people get cynical about the power of one vote, but it's both the collective power, and they're made up of one by one by one. And particularly in these small towns, the difference of one voter's choice, can really matter. And so if they're handicapped, they're pushed away because of some barrier, then, you know, the system is really tilted away from participation and in favor of incumbents and other, you know, the big money and so on. So the vote is really our protection. It's our way of making sure that citizens have the last word in who controls government, who controls our society, and we need to use it.
There are significant local elections all over North Carolina underway, with Tuesday being election day for a lot of cities, including big places like Raleigh and Charlotte and some others. And yet we still see a surprisingly low turnout. What can we do about that?
It's partly people don't connect because the media is not saturating them in the way that they have become used to with mailers and so on. It's also they are not believing or not recognizing how those local government positions really connect to their lives. But as many say, you know, it's local, what all politics is local, and the local officials, they're both the ones you can reach most easily, and they're the ones that affect you most directly. So they're making decisions about everything from garbage pickup to roads to get to your schools to planning, neighborhood development, zoning issues, all kinds of issues that really have a real direct impact on your quality of life.
You mentioned that the media doesn't saturate the airwaves. The media is shrinking so much. We can find out every nuance of what President Trump does, but the mayor of even a big city, we really have no idea sort of day to day how they're conducting themselves.
Yeah, exactly. And you're right. The resources are dwindling, so the attention at the local level, there's not the local reporters. You've got them editors and, you know, the media outlets that are just ripping off the news from the top. And they're turning it more into entertainment. And we do need better civic education in our schools and in our other institutions and in the media. That would help, I think, people recognize we're bound together as a society based on how decisions are made, and they're made at the first level in our cities and towns.
Before I go, a couple other, I guess, related questions, really. We have another election a year from now, which is a big election for Congress and the General Assembly, and yet we still don't even know, for people who are considering running, in many places in North Carolina, they don't know which district they're going to live in.
True, and I'm afraid that those that drew the maps, the Republican legislators, are trying to stall and delay as long as they can. They're now resisting the court's decision to retain a special master, an expert, to help evaluate the districts they drew and perhaps draw some new ones. They want to, you know, challenge that. They're going to drag that out. Once things are done, they'll probably appeal it. So I think what they're trying to do is just slop it all into the past the 2018 deadline and try to get those maps knocked out. then use the old maps. It's really bizarre, and it's part of a strategy. It's a factor of their lack of accountability. It's difficult for us to hold them accountable. Only the courts now can hold them accountable, and at this point, they even want to mess with the courts. You know, they're trying to put in new provisions to try to intimidate judges, showing what they might do by reducing their terms or redrawing their districts, you know. So it's just a real bullying atmosphere from the top down in the General Assembly.
You know, you and I have talked about it for a long time, the idea of redistricting reform, an independent way to do these, whether it's a commission or a staff-driven process or however you want to describe it. It seems that there's a lot more momentum these days, that the public has sort of finally figured out why this is so important.
I think that's true. I think we certainly have seen it in the field. Our organizers are saying that people are talking more about redistricting. They want to get involved. They want us to be more involved in redistricting reform. It's been an issue that we've talked about and met with legislators and helped get bills introduced back when the Democrats were in power. And now more and more people are seeing that it does produce this very polarized policy debates. You can't get compromises. You can't move things in positive ways. You're getting legislators that are unaccountable. They don't have to answer to anybody for the legislation. And people are just, they feel like their votes are devalued. So they really are recognizing that redistricting, gerrymandering, rigging the elections is hurting them.
And finally, I want to ask you, you mentioned this before about the courts, but did you ever think you'd see a Senate rules chair introduce a bill that would literally reduce someone who's just gotten elected to the state Supreme Court's term from 8 years to 2 years?
It's really bizarre, and it's so bold and outrageous. I can't think of the word beyond bully. I mean, this is just they are intimidating judges because the judges have slapped them down a few times. And they've gone after the executive branch. They've got control of the legislative branch. Now they want to go after the judicial branch, all three branches of government, what they want to control. And it's hard to believe that, you know, eliminating the terms of people that were duly elected would stand a court challenge. Of course, it would be all the judges are the ones who have to decide. And they so it's a bizarre situation.
Well, Bob, thanks for all you're doing and a fascinating study about the one vote. We appreciate you being with us.
Take care.
Up next, healthcare for thousands of North Carolina children at risk. Stay with us.